You're listening to the Cerebral Mind Control Podcast.
Welcome back to the Cerebral Mind Control Podcast, episode number 58. Now, in this episode, we speak and learn from Anna Mazurek, an actor here in Saskatoon who has been making some waves. We get to learn about her story, how she achieved her current level of success, where in the world it has taken her, and where she's about to go shortly. Now, this episode has been brought to you by our friends over at Enigma Talent and Entertainment, Canada's one-stop shop for premium corporate quality entertainment services, ranging from magicians, hypnotists, mentalists, photographers, videographers, photo booths, DJs, you name it, they've got it in entertainment services. Now, please take the next hour out of your day to listen to this episode. You're going to learn just as I did. And if you want to tune in again in the future to our live stream, it's CMCYXE on Facebook, Cerebral Mind Control YXE. Now, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Anna Mazurek.
Oh, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and it's live? I think it's live.
We're on.
I think we're live. Just gonna double check the stream. Looks good to me. What's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in. This is episode 58 of the Cerebral Mind Control Podcast. We have Anna Mazurek.
Hey, what's up? Good. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. Well, thanks for coming down here to the studio. And yeah, we met maybe 2 months ago and found out you're an amazing actor. Very talented. And I got to see you performed actually in a play with my uncle, Earl. Mm-hmm. And Nathan Copens.
Yep.
I watched the last set you guys did of the entire run of shows there.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, you guys all did very well, I thought.
Well, thank you.
And then I looked into all three of you, actually. Mm-hmm. Obviously, my uncle, I know him. But and I found out that you do a lot more acting than just plays. It's a movie, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
The Tin Wife.
Tell me about that.
The Tin Wife is a short film directed and written by Travis Neufeld, and it's just recently been making its international tour through the film festivals, and it's been making a bit of a name for itself. We've been to Australia, or we haven't, but the film has been to festivals in Australia and Spain and Amsterdam, and
wow.
Been nominated for lots of awards, and it's just
That's
so
awesome.
Amazing to see it have a life of its own, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, I'm adjusting the light on.
Oh, please do.
On your camera there. There we go. That should look better for everybody at home. So how did you, you know what? Let's back up a lot more than that.
Okay.
How did you get to your current level of success? Give us your backstory.
What's my backstory? Okay. Well, are we talking how I fell in love with acting or what were the steps to.
Yeah. Well, let's start. I like the how you filmed.
Well, I was conceived on. No. okay, so when I was 15 years old, I played the role of the MC in a musical called Cabaret. And this is at Aidan Bowman, which is a pretty risque production to put on for 15 year olds because it takes place in this cabaret in Berlin and in World War II. And everyone's pretending that the war isn't happening, but there's a lot of really interesting CD individuals in this cabaret. And I played the master of ceremonies. And it was, I was playing a man who liked to dress up as a woman. So there are a lot of different layers to this character. And I just fell in love with it. I was this is what I want to do. I felt so free in a way, slipping into the skin of someone else. And I just had so much fun doing that show. And it was directed by Jason Dubray. And he really helped me along in the early starts of acting and really believed in me and, cast me in nice juicy roles and throughout high school. And that's kind of where it all starts usually is around high school. And that's when I realized that I was man, this is pretty pretty fun. And so I just kept on doing it for fun. And then it became my major in university. I went to the University of Saskatchewan through the Bachelor of Fine Arts program at the drama department there, and had amazing mentors there who actually pulled me aside, a couple of them, and were like, hey, you know what? You could make it. You could do this. We don't say this to every student that comes through here because it's just not everyone's strong suit, but they were really encouraging me and go to Toronto, go to Vancouver.
Nice.
Just like, I like Saskatoon for now.
Right, right. So then after that,
after university, I pretty much straight went into the audition for the Globe Theatre Acting Conservatory at the Globe Theatre in Regina.
Right on.
So that brings together top of the industry professionals from across Canada. They come to Regina and it's a very intensive, basically an actor boot camp.
Oh, yeah.
6 days a week, 10 to 6, like acting, movement, voice. And in the end, you put on a production and it's so amazing to learn from these people who've been in the game for a long time and they're right there in that room with you.
Nice.
Coaching you. And then through that, you get a contract with the Globe Theatre. You get to do one show with them. So I did Peter and the Starcatcher. That was my first professional show. So I've only been at this for less than a year, actually.
Oh, really?
Like acting professionally.
Oh, and professionally, but I mean, leading up to that, there's
years, yeah, there's years. There's production in university and stuff, but
for sure.
Out in there in the real world for like less than a year. So it all started with the Peter and the Starcatcher at the Globe, and then from there just kept the ball rolling. And
so, for most people, well, not most people, I guess for some people, when they look back, they can kind of see how the pieces fell into place in order for them to achieve what they have. But at the time, you don't really see that in front of you.
Yeah.
Looking back, does it all make sense to you? And like, or is it kind of chaotic or like
random? I think, like, I don't know. It's tricky for me because, I don't feel like I'm done or that.
Right.
So, you know,
just getting started.
Yeah, I'm only just beginning, and you know, I don't always feel like, you know, that successful and all these things. So it's funny that we're like, how did you become successful? And I'm like, well, funny story, because I'm not sure if I am, but what defines success? Could get into that. But yeah, I think I can see the kind of the pieces for me are just the shows that really showcase your talent or your how versatile of an artist that you are, and the ones that keep getting rebooted and just keep on coming back. Like, well, we're doing Displaced for the third time, a show directed and co-written by Natasha Martina about three immigrant women coming to Canada. We're doing it for the third time mid-January, and we're taking it to the M1 Singapore Festival. So we're taking the show to Singapore.
That's pretty sweet.
Which is crazy. And it's the third installment of it. And it just, you know, it all comes down to kind of the stories that we're telling, and the ones that really stick are the ones that help boost your career forward, I guess. So
right.
Probably
so
the big ones for
the
me.
Next project?
Yeah. Right. Displaced is the next project for me. Doing that one again.
Nice. And has it already started?
No, we're starting rehearsals in mid-January, but same cast. And so, you know, we'll be getting me and my cast member, Jackie Block, we might be getting together over the holidays just to, you know, sip some wine and go over lines.
But
yeah, so it starts mid-January.
What's your method for, you know, memorizing lines? Or is there one?
Honestly, for me, that's different for every person. Some people like to take the script home the first day and like just study the heck out of it and be off book right away for rehearsals. Me, I like to have my book in hand. It's kind of a safe place for me.
Okay.
I like to get off book through. Or,
oh, this is script?
The script, sorry,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So off book being you leave the script away and you have to call for a line if you forget a line, and the stage manager or whoever will feed it to you. But yeah, I kind of like to learn it through rehearsal. I like to keep it in my hand as for a good week, and then I feel comfortable putting it down once I've really figured out the ins and outs of the scenes. And I don't like to memorize the script before I've really worked the kinks out with my, you know, cast members in the scene.
Okay.
Like it's done like some good go back and forth rehearsing. Sort of thing. Yeah.
Okay.
I see. So I just do it by through rehearsal is how I memorize. And then sometimes I go for walks and talk to myself and I look a little bit weird because I'm just arguing with myself. Although some people do that anyway. Not really any like super specific method for me, but
okay.
Yeah.
Right on. And how long does it take you to really get into a role?
Closing night, I'm like, okay, I'm here. I nailed it.
Closing night.
Okay. No. It's a collaborative effort. And I think once you get everyone's work together, so like there's the work of the lighting designer, there's the work of the costume designer,
right.
There's the sound designer. There's so many elements that come in. And when everyone's work comes together and during usually like the tech rehearsals, when you put every single element in and you're actually doing dress rehearsals and tech rehearsals, full on tech, everything, that's usually when things start to click and it really builds the world that your character is living in through the soundscape and through what you're wearing and
right.
through okay. the lights. And so usually that's when things start to like really click for me is it's probably around the tech run. So that's about say 3 days, 2 or 3 days before we have an audience.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. So by then you've already done a bunch of rehearsals too.
Yeah. You've usually done
those are like
two and a half weeks of
the
rehearsal.
last refinements, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's your last chance.
Interesting. Very cool. And do you know, or actually what's the question here? Like, is there a certain number of times that you have to rehearse before, or is this all depending on who you're working with?
I don't know. I better check the Canadian Theater Agreement for that one.
Is it every day or?
Yeah. So it's usually Tuesday to Sunday. You rehearse around 10 to 6. Mondays are actors' days off. So it's pretty intensive. Mondays are our days off.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Right on.
No Monday blues for us. It's like Tuesday. I know.
Yeah.
Not that I know of there being a set amount. Like I said, I probably have to check like the Canadian Theater Agreement for officially what the requirement is. But it's usually around 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks. It flies by really fast, though.
Nice.
Yeah.
And how do you find more gigs slash shows slash
right how does it yeah. how does it how do the opportunities keep
right
keep
right
on out. Going well I've been really lucky to have been approached for a lot of roles, which is super. That's an honor to like, you know, you don't have to go through the whole audition process and, but I do still do lots of auditions and, there's callbacks and can be a while until you hear back from theaters, whether or not you do get in or not. And, I've been lucky to have opportunities keep coming my way and people say yes, people say no, there's a lot of no's and you just have to keep chugging along. It's just part of the job.
For sure.
Yeah.
And, okay. So you now, and you, let's say 1 to 5 years ago, what's the biggest difference that you've noticed in yourself mentally?
Where was I 2 or 3 years ago? I think that I've, for the first time this year, I've, felt moments of feeling really successful and proud of my work and
right.
My team's work. And, I think that honestly, the difference is just being launched into the professional world of it and not being, guided, by my mentors and in university and, people holding my hand anymore. It's just me and it's me versus the world. No. it's now fully my responsibility to do what I want and get the opportunities that I want. And so that's probably the biggest difference is that it's very much feeling like self-employed. Oh, yeah. So
there you go.
So you have to, you gotta drive yourself.
You're an entrepreneur.
I'm an entrepreneur.
There you go. So obviously we know what the next project is, but what do you foresee in the distant future, I guess?
Distant future. Yeah. Well, I want to have a family and,
we were just in the States, actually. We were talking about this before the episode. And where was it again? Where'd you go?
I was near Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, right, because you went to the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, and I went camping in the Grand Canyon with my boyfriend. We went to Sedona.
Sedona. Is that also in Arizona?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Beautiful red
Arizona's
hills.
Arizona's crazy, hey?
Arizona's
has like every
so
landscape.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's amazing. We were like on mountains. We did lots of hiking. And Monument Valley is really, really cool. That's I awesome. Love cacti, so it was like perfect for me.
Have you eaten one?
I have not eaten one, although they do have prickly pear, like these little fruit on top of the cacti there, and they just look like little yellow. Anyway, you can pull them out, and they kind of look like a little yellow bell pepper.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, you can make...
spikes in them or no?
I don't know. I didn't try eating one, but there is prickly pear fruit, so there's, yeah.
Okay.
Souvenir shops where it's like, you can eat a cactus, and it's like,
I've seen some videos where a guy actually eats like a cactus with the, yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who knows? Figured I'd ask anyways. Maybe you're crazy like that.
Maybe I'm crazy.
So yeah, my grandpa's actually, he's in Arizona right now.
Oh, cool.
Maybe he's watching. Hey, Grandpa.
Hey, Grandpa.
He goes there 6 months out of the year.
Yeah, lots of snowbirds there. Lots of people who.
Yeah, I'm hoping to go there actually. Early next year before he comes back to Canada.
Aw.
Because, he is an awesome place. What a life, eh? You just...
Oh, it's beautiful.
He's at the lake 6 months and then in Arizona for 6 months.
Grandpa's got it figured out.
Winter,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Who's your biggest inspiration?
Who is my... I mean, there's so many people that have inspired me, and usually I've been like throughout my life, I've been quite inspired by my teachers and my mentors. So, everyone that's taught me and directed me and, there's not one specific person, maybe my cats, but, it's honestly, it's the community that I find inspires me and the building a sense of community and the stories that need to be told, is what keep me going. And there's so many fantastic people that I get to collaborate with. I'm super lucky.
What's the community like in Saskatoon?
Really, really friendly and really welcoming. It's so cool because I grew up going to, I had season's tickets to Persephone Theater and I would go and see these shows and see these actors, you're seeing like Josh Beaudry and Angela Christie and all these people that I grew up watching on the stage, Kent Allen, and then you get to work with them it's like, oh, local celebrities, but they're so awesome and genuine and really welcoming. And the theater community is very, I would say that it's a very close community and very loving and very supportive. And they welcome you with open arms. And
that's important.
I'm super lucky to feel like I'm part of it. So
right on.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Is there someone that you really want to meet?
I actually already, this is a good, moment of a changing moment in my life, and it's going to sound super lame, but I, in grade 9 and grade 8, I was obsessed with High School Musical. Okay. And I was obsessed with, do you know who Vanessa Hudgens is?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was doing this study abroad trip with a couple of teachers through the U of S. And Vanessa Hudgens was in a musical in New York at the time called Gigi. And this one free night, I decided to get last minute tickets. And I ended up being like in like the third row from the front, and she was like right there in front of me, and I decided to wait after the show to see if I could meet her, and I met her, and it was just this crazy, surreal, incredible, terrifying, weird experience where like this person that I've you know watched for a long time growing up is right in front of me and talking to you, and like, you know, you see how tall or short they are, and it's just weird. Cool. And they're looking at you and engaging in a conversation, and it's absolutely incredible. And, you know, I blabbered on about how I was obsessed with her and all these things. And then I walked away and I just started crying when I went back into like the New York subway going back home. Because I realized in that moment that like, anything is possible. And like probably one of my biggest dreams secretly in my life, biggest secret dreams, was like meeting Vanessa Hudgens. And like, you know, and then it just happened spontaneously. Like that day I was like, I'm going to go to the show. And then everything kind of fell into place and I met her, and it was just so crazy that was even possible.
That's like, cool.
And so in that moment, which is super silly, I realized that like dreams come true, and that was kind of when I was like, whoa, you can do things, and like you're not stuck in a little bubble forever, and yeah, it was really, really quite sweet.
Nice. When was this?
So that was 2015. I'm gonna say no, 2016, somewhere around there. Yeah.
All right. So yeah, just recently.
Yeah.
Just recently.
Yeah.
So is there maybe someone else too that you aspire to meet?
That I aspire to meet. Other than people I've met. Well, now I've got you checked off my list. So that's lovely. And I met Jeff Rogstad. That was a big, big one on my list.
CTV.
Right on. Represent. I don't know. I think it'd be pretty cool to meet someone like Michael Caine or someone who's like been in the business for a long time. I became
a fan of his when he did The Prestige.
Oh yeah.
You've seen the movie. I'm gonna assume.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, of course you would like that movie. Yeah,
of course. The best movie ever.
It's a very good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite movie?
My favorite movie. I really like Thelma and Louise. Okay. That's one of my favorites.
And what?
Girl Power.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
there's
Girl Power.
The answer right there.
Yeah, and they're just wonderful actors and great story, and I find it so empowering and fun and playful, and touches a lot of, you know, feminist issues that are important to me. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Love Thelma and Louise.
And what about your favorite play that you haven't been in?
That I haven't been in? There's a really good play that I read. Can't remember who it's by, but I thought it would be so cool to do. It's called Between the Sheets.
Okay.
Who is it by? Normie Mand? I don't know. Canadian playwright, though. And it's very well written. And I read it, and I was like, oh. I'm going to pick some monologues from here.
Nice.
Yeah.
So when you go through like an audition,
mm-hmm.
you have to do a monologue or something, I'm guessing. I have no knowledge of that
it depends on, so. Yeah, it depends on the audition. So some of them are general auditions, and those are usually, you do one classical / Shakespeare monologue, something that's older, more heightened language. And you do a Shakespeare or a classical monologue, and you do a contemporary monologue. So something that's within the last, I don't know, the 21st century and the 20th century, let's say.
Okay.
And so either you prepare those monologues, which you kind of have in your back pocket all the time. I should find some new ones, actually. Or they'll give you sides or like a audition audition bits from the play that you're actually auditioning for and the actual roles that you want to go for. And that's nice because you can actually show them what you would bring to the role rather than here's a general character that right. I can do. And there's so many more things that you can do than just those two monologues. So I prefer getting the actual piece, right. a piece from the play that you're auditioning for.
Right. Okay.
But yeah.
That's awesome. That's really good insight. Cause yeah, like I said, I have no knowledge of that area, even though like I'm a magician, I'm in the entertainment industry.
Right.
Acting's completely different.
Yeah.
I think anyways, cause yeah. So what's your all-time favorite lesson that you've learned from maybe a play, maybe it's a book, maybe it's a movie or a TV show? What's your number one lesson that you've taken away from one of those mediums?
Yeah. About acting or about life? Or just both? Lesson.
Whatever's more important.
Whatever's more important. Is life more important than acting? Or is acting life? There we go. We're getting deep here. I think one of the biggest lessons that I've learned is to be humble and to really listen to others and practice listening. And it's probably the biggest lesson that I've learned. In terms of acting, one of my mentors from the Globe Theatre Conservatory in Regina, David Latham, he said, don't be too precious. Like, don't be so precious with the acting that, like, I'm paraphrasing now, but
okay.
Basically what it means is that, you know, you have a line and you're hesitating and figuring out in your mind how to say it in the perfect way. And you usually have a vision in your mind first before you say the line about how you want it to come out. And it's just like, throw that all away. Just be in the moment. React to your scene partner. React to the circumstances. Breathe. And just do it. And don't be so precious with how you sound or how you look. And
right, just let loose and be natural.
Just do it. That's my advice. Just do it.
Right on. Good advice, actually.
Yep.
You know, if there's anything you need to do, you just... came up actually now. It's like two or three episodes in a row. Those three words, everyone loves them.
Yeah.
Nike is just ingrained in everyone's minds, I guess.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we've already gone through how you got here and where you are planning to go.
Mm-hmm.
What has happened in your past that you didn't really see coming? And that has helped shape who you are.
That's tricky. I think there's been challenges along the way, personal challenges that you know, just life happens, right? Emergencies happen, and things that you don't foresee happening happen. And the important thing is that you have the support behind you that you need. You have a really good support system, and you know, don't isolate yourself in those scary moments or in those moments of feeling sad or lonely or anxious, and 'cause that happens to everyone, and I feel that still sometimes, and I think it's just important that you shake it off in the words of Taylor Swift. And that you don't isolate yourself in those experiences. Don't be afraid to talk about it and,
right.
You know, use your voice and get the help that you need if you need it. So, nothing that I can really pinpoint or talk about, but, like I said, life happens and you just gotta keep moving forward.
Right on. I do this every episode. People that I follow this from the beginning know this. I have a question, but then I lose the question completely. Yeah. I need to like, I think I need to like write it down while it's happening.
Yeah. So you need like a scroll also, to revert yeah. to when you're like,
I really, I don't know. Because I come up with questions on the fly, but then I don't remember them. Because I feel like if I were to write it down, I might not listen. And then I might miss something else that's even more important.
Listening. Here we go. This exercise.
There you go. Yeah. So first off, to everyone watching the stream, I'm hoping that the audio is synced. It was when we first started. We got three cameras going. So I'm unsure what it actually looks like because this is just broadcasting. And I'm not going to go and check my phone right now while it's happening.
You can if but, you want. I mean,
oh, no. It's fine. But yeah, if you're listening to this on iTunes or SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, or TuneIn, obviously there's no cameras there. But if you guys want to see the live stream, you can go to facebook.com/CMCYXE and you can tune in to the next streams and we'll see. We'll put the schedule up on there. And so I guess let's take this moment now if you could tell everyone how they can reach you.
If you need to reach
me.
Best
way to find you, I guess.
Well, my phone number. No. I actually just got a cell phone for the very first time. Crazy. Crazy. 21st century.
Yeah, I can't believe it. It's actually kind of funny. And you also played a role in Naked Tourist Sacred Mountain where you guys had phones the whole time.
Oh, yeah. It was so. Very like social media and yeah. technology. Yeah. Yeah, we had lots of
But you're
of
completely
phones.
The opposite.
Yeah. That's well, I've used a cell phone before. I've mooched them from other people if right. I really need to make a call. But.
So how did you survive again without a cell phone?
So what I did is I used my iPod Touch and I just mooched Wi-Fi and then I used this app called Next Plus and you can actually make calls from it and like receive texts just like
from
any
a real phone number.
Yeah.
Really?
Real phone number. So I survived for years like that and finally bit the bullet because I need to be for the work I need to be accessible and
exactly.
You know, safety is a good thing too and
right.
feel more safe with a phone too. So
for sure.
But how you can reach me, I have a website, www.annamazurik.com. ANNAMAZURIK.
Yeah, I would make it appear in the stream, but I haven't figured that out yet. But what I will do is I'll put all your info in the show notes of this episode.
For, awesome.
So when people go to that, they can see all the links. So you also, about social media?
I don't have a public page on social media at all.
Okay.
And I don't have Twitter.
Insta, Snap.
Oh, Instagram. I do have Instagram. Oh, what's my name? Anna Maz, I think, is my okay. Instagram name. So
I'm sure you have your full name written somewhere in your bio or something on Instagram.
Yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, so I mean, you could probably just search your name on Instagram.
Maybe I should change some things around. Yeah, probably my website is your best resource to contact me.
All right. Yeah, so animazurk.com, right?
Yes.
.com. Sweet. That's good that you got a .com.
I got a .com.
That's awesome. Yeah. Back when I first started, I tried to get a .com for some other names I was testing.
Mm-hmm.
Of other magician names, I guess, so to speak.
Magic.com.
And I could only find .ca and then ended up just not getting a website for a little bit. And then eventually came up with a name, which was my middle name.
Yeah.
In case you're wondering, Hadlin. The middle name.
So cool.
My middle name. And okay, so anyways, what motivates you?
I think I maybe touched on this when we were trying to figure out who inspires me. Mm-hmm. But what motivates me is I love doing the work. Like I love being in a project and the stories that we tell and the communities that you build on a project. It's so special to me. It's really sacred work to me and really close to my heart. And I get so excited for every project that I have the opportunity to work on. And what motivates me is the work itself in a weird way.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really driving.
You just enjoy it that much? That
I love just, it. I love it so much.
Just the idea that you can go and do what you love
Yeah.
And motivation enough.
Incredibly lucky.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you ever think this was going to happen? That you're going to be able to go into professional acting?
I think it was a faraway dream of mine that I was like, that's not going to happen. I'm going to probably take a safer route and you know, because this is it's a risky business in that, you know, you're constantly doing job interviews essentially with every audition, and you're working contract to contract, and it's, you never necessarily know unless you have it all booked out and planned in advance, which sometimes you're lucky enough to do, but sometimes you don't know if you're going to be working in 6 months. And that's not a
scary.
It's like job stability is really important, but I love it so much that I don't know what else I would do now.
Exactly.
At some point I do want to teach, I think, but
Teach acting?
Teach acting. I'd love to teach, I think, high school too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's always I've helped out with like my old high school and at like in productions and, you know, helping direct some stuff. And I actually through Shakespeare on the Saskatchewan, we took Shakespeare workshops to over 2,200 students between kindergarten and grade 12 this last spring, teaching Shakespeare to kids. And
sweet.
You know, that's not something that you might think would be that engaging maybe for the students, or maybe the first thing you think is like, oh, well, it's so long ago. Why is it still relevant? But they loved it. And, I really enjoy working with kids, and like I said, so much of what's inspired me as a person is the teachers that I've had and the mentors that I've had, and it'd be amazing to be that person for someone else. So,
right on.
Yeah.
What other talents, hidden talents, might you have that maybe only your close friends know about?
It might not be that hidden, but like I also sing and play piano, play guitar, play a little bass guitar. Mm-hmm.
Did you jam with Earl?
No, not yet. But that's in the works. Actually, nice. I'm seeing him later, probably for supper tonight. So maybe we'll jam after.
Awesome.
I can make a really creepy, like, baby noises.
Oh yeah.
And really weird. I can make really weird baby sounds. It's probably, and I can burp on command.
Okay.
And cry on command.
Well, there you go. Well, that's probably, they're both.
But all three at once, that'd be pretty ugly. Yeah.
A baby burp, probably.
A baby burp. and I can tie cherry stem knots in my mouth.
Well, there you go.
And my forehead is magnetic. Have you ever tried that? Where you're like, it's something that people don't really believe me. But okay, so if you take like a loonie or a quarter, and you like, you can like dry your forehead as much as you want, but you can make it stick to your forehead.
Right.
By just magnetic fields and like, you know, how
magnetic fields, right?
And like how smart you are, I think makes your forehead more magnetic. So my forehead's super magnetic. And then you look like an idiot when you do it. You're like, my forehead's magnetic. I don't pull out that trick too often.
Only every once in a while.
Yep.
So as a magician, people constantly will ask me, hey, show me a trick.
Yeah.
Do people ask you, act for me or something?
Act for me.
Yeah.
Does that
happen?
Sometimes people... Like, I was just at a little family get-together the other day, and they're joking, like, oh, Anna's going to do a monologue. And I'm like, no, I'm not. You know, and sometimes it's like, sometimes it can be like, do a monologue, or my parents being like, oh, Anna, do that character that you did in the show 4 years ago. Like, what did they say? And, you know, so sometimes it's sort of like that kind of thing, but not too often. Yeah.
That's good.
Fortunately, I don't get asked to act on the spot too often.
I know comedians will always
tell me a joke.
Yeah, exactly. Are you funny?
Am I funny?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
hilarious.
Good. Do you have any jokes for us?
I do have a joke.
I'm just pulling that same thing. Basically, I'm just like a radio
person. I have an inappropriate joke.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Is it something that has to be bleeped?
No.
Well, then I think it's fine. I think everyone can handle it.
Look at you. You're doing a trick right now.
Sorry. I do that just by thinking. Or not even by thinking. I do it when I'm driving too. And
whoa.
Yeah.
We should get a close-up on that.
No, that's okay.
That's cool. There's now I'm distracted. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, so for people that are listening, I'm taking my ring and moving it between my fingertips. Almost like...
And it's magical.
Almost like the Johnny Depp with the coin roll.
Mm-hmm.
In Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yep. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to stop.
No. I like it. It's kind of soothing.
It is, actually. But then, for instance, I'll be driving. I'll be doing that. And then every once in a while, I'll drop it. And then as soon as I drop it, I'm like, oh, I can't drive normal without it. And I'll like try to reach down and try to find it without looking. And then my hand's dirty because it's touching the wet floor. And then eventually I find it and I'm like, okay. And I go right back to it. And then I drop it again. It just rinses and repeats every 5-10 minutes.
You got to get like a little chain on it or something. That will, like,
I don't know how that would work.
I don't know.
At the movie theater
just,
last night.
Just use your magic to find it immediately and pick it up.
Magnets, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. All right. What is something that you can recommend an aspiring actor to do? To do or work on or to seek out in order to maybe just to start?
Mm-hmm. Honestly, the biggest thing is just to start. I think the easiest thing that you can do is really go to like the opening nights of shows
opening
around.
Nights?
Yeah. Okay. So opening night is the first official night that the show is open. The director usually won't give you any more notes and you won't adjust the show too much after that. So it's usually this big party and there's food and speeches after the shows. And it's a really good way to meet and network with people in the acting community. It's just a really good way to start showing your face and put yourself out there. So that's something that I think Pamela Haig Bartley, one of my profs from the university, told me.
Okay.
And that's something that I started doing was going to opening nights and even just going to a show and people start recognizing your face as someone that supports other local theater. And that's another huge thing is just like always be supportive of other, you know, actors and their shows and try to see as much as you can if you're able to. And start submitting for things and that's scary, like figuring out how to write an email that's like, hi, I want you to cast me. It's like you have to like you kind of got to figure it out, but get a headshot.
Mm-hmm.
Get a nice headshot. There's all kind of tips on the internet too. I mean,
right,
I'm not no guru, but these are things that I did, and eventually I made my own website and yeah, you kind of just have to put yourself out there and just do it. There we go again.
It's so funny because we already talked about it earlier, but it comes up so many times in podcasts.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Yeah, it might be like a little cop out where I don't want to like explain how to do it. I'm just like, oh, you'll figure it out.
Yeah. I asked Brett W. Wilson. I don't know. Did I get his name wrong?
Not sure.
I don't know. He's like an entrepreneur. Anyways, that was his advice to me as well.
Just do
it. There's a hypnotist, Terry Stokes. I asked him for some advice. And that was his advice.
I can't tell if like it's good advice or not though.
Yeah. And like, then what's his name? Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
He's got that meme going around.
Yep.
Just do it.
Just do it. Yeah. I don't know. I think the biggest thing that you can do is, if I'm going to elaborate past just do it, is just put yourself out there and just start meeting people. 'Cause that's where you're going to get so many opportunities, you know, introduce yourself to people and ask people questions and listen and, start getting to know, you know, the kind of community that you want to, the community that you want to be a part of. And through that, you're going to, it makes it so much easier to have opportunities come your way and to audition for someone that you know. It's a lot easier and less intimidating. And
so how important is networking?
Super important.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I really like the word networking, because it's like kind of scary sounding or like super businessy in a way. But building relationships and finding connections with people.
Okay.
let's elaborate, extend it to all of that.
Nicer way to say networking.
Nicer way to say networking, exactly. Okay. But it's good to, like, you know, have a card. It's nice to have a card and just give it to people as a reference if they ask you. Okay. Yeah, a business card. Yeah,
I thought you meant like an acting card. I was imagining that for a second.
Yeah. Okay. Your cards probably have like queens and jacks on them or something.
They
cool.
don't.
No.
I don't know. No, I don't. I try not to do many card tricks, although I always.
I've seen a couple of card tricks that you've done, yeah, I think.
Probably.
I don't know.
I don't know. I do a lot of card tricks, but I try not to do them.
You don't want to be known as a card trick musician.
Yeah, exactly. I prefer coin magic, personally.
Maybe it's coins.
Because coin magic is it's harder than card magic.
Yeah.
It's because you're manipulating smaller objects.
Yeah.
Whereas cards are larger, and it's kind of easier to. Anyways, I should stop talking about.
No. I like this. This is.
Well, I mean.
Enlightening for me.
I can't tell.
Oh,
secrets.
I see.
Magician's
don't tell the
code,
secrets.
Right? I can't tell you guys any of the
or
secrets.
You can just watch that show, Breaking the Magician's Code, and learn all the secrets.
Well, see,
that
takes
the fun out of it.
It kind of does, but I watched it as a kid, and I was like, oh, that's how it's done? And then watching it again, I'm like, that's actually not how it's done.
Really?
That's he's giving, for a lot of the, okay, for some of them, he's 100% correct.
Right.
But for 80% of them, the guy, the masked magician, he created what he thought or how he would do it, which is not actually the real method behind some of those tricks.
So it's still, are still really big secrets.
Yeah, exactly. And
good to know.
You know, it wasn't the exact method behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But I like Fool Us. That's a good show.
Fool Us, I haven't seen
with
that.
With Penn and Teller.
Oh, wait, yes. Yeah. I have seen maybe bits and pieces.
I've been watching, analyzing all the different performances that fool them. And I've come to realize that you need to do a full routine of like 20 tricks all in one trick to fool them.
Huh.
So that's what I'm going to, that's what I'm, that's I'm what creating you're gonna... something. So hopefully maybe I'll be on that show. I don't know.
Yeah, of course.
I really want that FU fool us.
Yes.
Their trophy says FU on it. if you fool them.
You want that trophy. Cool. That's your goal in life.
Just put it right there.
Yeah.
Right on the table. But anyways, all right, we're closing down to the last few minutes of the podcast here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it goes by super quick. I know.
Not as scary as I thought.
Hey. So, like I said, episode 58, the show notes will be hadlin.com/CMC058. Every episode's live streamed now, regardless of our internet connection or where we might be. Maybe it's not the studio and I won't have three. Maybe it'll just be the phone. Who knows? But anyways, so animazurich.com is your website.
Mm-hmm.
And your Instagram, we'll figure it out. They can.
I think it's Animaz.
Animaz. Okay. And okay.
Sweet.
Yeah. I can't think of any of the questions right now. That's all.
The answer is probably just do it.
As it's been for a lot. I like it.
There you go.
It's good, though. I should put that right on the laptop here.
There you go.
Just do it. And then when someone says it, I can be like, yep, I knew you were going to say that.
I knew it. I was prepared.
Magic, right?
Magic.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Have you seen any magic shows before?
Yes, I have a friend, Travis Bernhardt.
Travis Bernhardt, yeah.
He's a magician.
Is he local?
Well, he comes here through the Fringe circuit sometimes during the summer. He's actually out of Vancouver. He did...
With the wings on his back?
No wings.
Tattooed.
Though he is an angel. He did, oh my gosh, Unpossible He's an amazing magician.
I think I know. I've never met him, but I think I know which guy this is because his show, when it was at the Fringe Festival, was inside of that school on the corner, right?
Victoria or...
I forget what the other one's called.
Skyak?
Yes.
Yeah?
It was in that gym, right?
Probably. He does... Yeah. There's not too many magicians that come in through Saskatoon. So, I mean, but
that has to be him. Probably. I think I saw a show then.
Tall. Good. Wears a suit.
I don't know. I think we all wear suits.
Maybe that's all of them.
Yeah, man. Well, I did not mean to call you Matt. I do that all the time.
No, but it's all good.
Hopefully he's watching. We should connect. Yes. Should talk magic.
It's
always nice talking magic because unfortunately there's so many things that I can't talk with anyone about because it's like, I can't tell you how it's done. Sorry. But if you're a magician, because magicians think a different way, in my opinion, than muggles, so to speak. I don't know. Like yourself.
I'm a muggle.
But yeah, no, just we think differently and it's cool to just bounce ideas back when we're creating a new trick.
For sure.
Especially. But so Travis is
Travis, right? Yeah.
Travis,
you gotta
contact me, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Any other magic shows? Maybe have you been to a hypnosis show?
I have. Back in grade 12, like graduation, I was hypnotized by
someone. Oh, you were hypnotized?
I was hypnotized. I went running around crying, looking for a rabbit, and it was wild times.
Nice. So that
means very weird to get hypnotized.
You can be hypnotized pretty easily then. Because once you've been hypnotized once, it's easier.
Really?
Yeah. Until... You're like me where I've been hypnotized so many times that I just block it 100% completely. Oh. So, I mean, because when you go to hypnosis conferences to learn hypnosis.
There's conferences.
There is. That's how I learned. But yeah. In Vegas, went year after year. And then so when you're at these conferences, you learn how to hypnotize each other. And I went under pretty easily. And then everybody was practicing routines on me.
Yeah.
So I was like the hypno monkey, so to speak. Like I wasn't actually like walking around like a monkey, but I was the one that everyone would be like, hey man, what's up? Sleep. And then it just got a bit too much. The second year I went, it was the same thing. And then the third year I was like, nope, not doing it.
Yeah.
It's done. I'm done.
I'm done being your monkey.
Yeah. So I only hypnotize people now and I cannot be hypnotized anymore.
Oh, cool.
So it's like a muscle. You do get better at reaching that state.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get to a certain point of reaching that state, you can decide to just turn it off.
Turn it off, right.
And block it.
I'm done being manipulated. Very good.
Well, I wouldn't say it's manipulated. People don't do what they don't want to do.
No?
No. You can't make someone jump off a bridge.
Oh, that's good.
Unless they're that type of person. You don't know. Yeah. That's why you just don't say it anyways.
I hope no one asks people to do that when they're hypnotized.
Oh, yeah. You seen Get Out before, the movie?
No, it's on my list, though, of things to watch Get Out.
Everyone, this is Christmas season, so it's busy time. There's tons of Christmas parties.
Yes.
And at every single show that I do, someone always comes up to me and asks me if I've seen the movie Get Out. And so that lit a fire under me. I went home went to the hotel after a show once and stayed up real late watching it. And
by yourself.
It's pretty good.
Isn't it scary?
No, it's like it to, yeah, like a thriller similar to like Black Mirror or something.
Oh, nice. Sweet.
You've seen Black Mirror?
Yes.
That's good. All right. Well.
All right.
Sorry, we went on a bunch of tangents here. And
tangents are good.
All the while I'm trying to adjust the cameras. So
get every angle before it's too late.
Really hoping that by switching the cameras, it doesn't lag stuff. So I appreciate you being kind of a test guinea pig with the three camera setup.
Now I'm the monkey.
I guess.
Maybe sure. I've been hypnotized this whole time.
Yeah, she won't actually remember this at all, ladies and gentlemen. See?
Where am I?
Right on. Anna, thank you so much. It was awesome getting to know you, learning from you.
Yeah.
And I hope everyone that listened and watched learned just as much as I did.
Oh,
this
hope
has
so.
Been, this has been really cool. I learned a lot. And I guess before we go, is there anything that you just want to say before we close the stream?
Be nice to each other and happy holidays.
All right. And, oh, I just remembered there is one thing. Can you share with us, this will be the last final thing.
Okay.
Can you share with us your favorite memory? It could be from being a kid. It doesn't have to be related to acting. It could be family. It could be friends. It could be work. It could be anything. Just your favorite all-time memory.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is a
exclusive.
Exclusive. Here we go. I have a really lovely memory of my family. And we went to, I think we were at Grasslands National Park. Oh, no, Cypress Hills. So southern Saskatchewan. And it was an August night. And it was when the shooting stars are like the most active. And we laid a blanket down in the middle of this road. And we just watched shooting stars. And it was really magical.
Nice.
Yeah. Probably it. Oh, wait. Is that my favorite one? Oh, no. I also saw really awesome northern lights when I did this volunteer program called Katimavik, and I was in Iqaluit in like January to March. So there was like 3 hours of daylight. But wow. It was amazing northern lights, like purple, green, blue.
Really?
More than just green. On fire. Like,
that's cool. I need to see that one day.
Oh, blew my mind.
Nice.
Yes, that's two. Sorry.
That's awesome. That's perfectly fine. But yeah,
okay.
Thank you again very
thank
much.
Thank you.
Anna. All right. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Episode 58. The official audio version of this episode will be on iTunes shortly, so subscribe.
Oh, man.
Cool.
Thank you.
There you have it, folks. That was episode number 58 with Anna Mazurek. Be sure to check out her website and see all the recent work that she's done, and definitely check out the movie Tin Wife. I'm going to watch that later on this week in between shows. But all right, thank you again for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode. Oh yeah, and show notes, hadland.com/CMC058. All right, see you next time.